And we talked about in verse 1, redemption, law, and grace. Law and grace. He was speaking of, again, redemption. As we go back and look real quick. And he said, at this time the Lord said unto me, hew thee two tablets of stone unto the first, and come up unto me into the mount, and make thee an ark of wood. Again, I gave you that illustration that he was beginning to teach them, even though it's a mystery to them. It's hidden from them and hidden for us in the Old Testament. It is the beginning of the understanding of law and grace, understanding the cross. Remember, we showed you that, how the word would be in the box or in the wood. Again, Jesus was on the cross, and he took our sins on the cross. And so he abolished the law per se and gave us grace, because what? Moses brought the law, but grace and truth and mercy and truth came through the Lord Jesus Christ. I told you about the type of wood, the shittim wood, which was incorruptible, that speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ and how that he is that incorruptible seed. He doesn't decay. He doesn't get old. It never loses its power or its value. The word or the blood, his name, it's always the same. Aren't you glad for that today? You buy something at a store, no matter how much you spend, you can pay top dollar. After a period of time, it goes bad, or it gets old, or it needs to be renewed or something. The name above every name, Jesus, never needs to be repaired or renewed. Somebody say amen for that. We talked about the how he built the ark. Again, this represents skill and discipline. And I don't know if I gave this in total justice of teaching this, but as Moses was to use skill and discipline to build this ark, you and I are to use skill and discipline to disciple ourselves. We're to use skill and discipline to walk this walk with the Lord Jesus. In other words, you know, just showing up at church and just plopping in is not enough for the Christian walk. You got to go home and study. You got to go home and read. You got to go home and pray. You got to spend time with the Lord and build that relationship. Amen. Look, you don't get to be physically fit by watching ESPN. Let me try that again. You could tell right here. You're not athletic by watching somebody on a treadmill. Man, you become those things when you discipline yourself and you get on the treadmill, or you do this or I do that. Then we become participants in the relationship of building ourselves. So this is, again, an example with Moses, and I'm going in a little more detail than I did last time, because I think that we really need to see that, okay? So it wasn't just building this box to stick these things in there, these items. It was showing a form of discipline that you and I, we need so desperately. We really do in our Christian walk. And again, church is not enough. All right, so why was he relaying his... You know, he kept saying these things. Why was he repeating this? Again, it's so important to understand. He was repeating these things because we, meaning Israel, and really ourselves, we just don't get it sometimes. You know, I just we've got to be honest. We just need to be reminded. Now, some people say, well, that's, you know, you're harping and, you know, wow, you just give, blah, 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 blah. No, it's actually good for us to continuously hear the word of the Lord and to be trained, not beat up, but to be built up and say, hey, this is what God has for you. This is what could be a part of your life if you'll just apply these words. I mean, these are not just do's and don'ts. This is the problem with religion. Watch this. Religion will tell you it's do's and don'ts. God, through relationship, will tell you this is a blessing and a cursing. This is what will bless you. You remember when we were little children, or you had children or grandchildren, whatever, you know, when you brought them around the stove, you told them, don't touch? Don't touch. I mean, that sounds really elementary and just simple-minded. But that's what God is doing through Moses. He's saying, don't touch. Don't do this. Because if you do it, what's going to happen? You're going to get burnt. All right. And if you obey, you're going to get blessed. You might even get a cookie. That sound good? Yeah, you might get blessed. So watch verse 5. It's talking about religion says it's a museum. The artifacts of God are a museum. But God was showing them through Moses that it's not. This is something that is relational, okay, through the ark. It's not a museum piece. Again, religion will tell you, you know, these things that we're doing here is for a museum. No, it's for a movement. It's a movement of God, okay? Let's just go on. Let's see, verse 12. Remember to ask a favor. I love this verse. I want to go back to it, then we're going to get into tonight's teaching, but I had to get back to here. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord God require of thee? Remember the word require means to ask a favor. Again, not in a begging way. God's not asking anybody in a begging way to do anything, but he's saying it through a friendship and a relationship. Hey, do me a favor, because if you favor me, I'm going to favor you. Okay? What was going to happen? He was talking about, to walk in fear, to walk in the walk of the Lord, okay, to walk in love, to serve, and to keep. These were certain things that he said there. Watch it again. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all thy all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul. And then he goes, talks about the blessings to keep them, the statutes and what have you. So awesome. He wants to bless us and take care of us. So let's go to chapter 11 for tonight. I like going back over the notes, because there's always something new the Lord gives us. And it's a good refreshing to see these things. All right, you in chapter 11? Here we go, verse 1. Therefore, thou shalt love the Lord thy God and keep his charge and his statutes and his judgments and his commandments sometimes. Oh, man, I got to get this Bible. I got to get this Bible fixed. Therefore, thou shalt love the Lord thy God and keep his charge and his statutes and his commandments, his judgments. Always. Is that right? Always. But let's go back to the first part. Therefore, thou shalt love the Lord thy God and keep. Notice the word love and then keep. Love and keep. When you study the Bible, just don't read through it so fast to get through it. It's not a competition. You're not cramming for a final test. Well, unless you're getting older, then you're cramming. But I heard a preacher say that. He says, young people don't read the Bible, but old people, they cram because they know their test is about to come. I thought it was pretty funny. But don't read it that way. Slow down and read it. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God and keep his charge. So love and keeping are put together there. But let me give you that word love, because it's very interesting. It is spelled A-H-A-D, ahad is the pronunciation, ahad, and it is number 157 if you're going to study it further. Watch this. It is different than like agape love. This is to act friendly or to be a friend. Powerful concept when you begin to study this. So he says, again, verse 1, therefore thou shalt love the Lord thy God and keep his charge. So if you are going to be in relationship with God, then it's going to be a relationship of friends. It's a friendship. And we miss this in church. And we look at it from a religious point of view. I guarantee you that most people, when they read the Old Testament, they read Deuteronomy, they read other portions of the Old Testament, they look at God as an ogre. He's not. He never has been. And Jesus didn't change his mind, as some New Testament type of preachers would tell you. No, God has always been good. He didn't have a change of heart at Calvary. Jesus was always the plan. He had to deal with people. He had to deal with time and space before Jesus could ever come to the earth. In due season, Jesus died for the ungodly. It was in due season. But look at that verse again, and that word, ahad, it means to be friendly. So if I love God, then I'm a relationship with him that is friendly, that is as a friend, and therefore I am going to keep his commandments. I'm going to keep his statutes. I'm going to keep his word because I'm in relationship with him and I am a friend of God. Is that right? Abraham was a friend of God. Why? Because Abraham obeyed. Abraham followed the way of faith. Abraham followed the way of truth. And if you and I do the same, then we are called friends of God. Didn't Jesus say that? I no longer call you servants. I call you friends. Why? Because a friend, I tell things intimately. Friends, I share things with. Friends, I talk to them in secret and in private. Friends, I bless, I promote, I honor, and I protect. Is that right? I mean, we love everybody, but isn't there certain people in your life that you're more friendly towards? Of course there is. Amen. And this is the thing he was saying. Now watch this. This isn't some precept and concept of some preacher standing before you. This is Bible. This is the original Hebrew telling you who God is and how he acted. And I teach from this perspective the law of first mentions. If you see it mentioned the first time in the Old Testament, you begin to see a pattern. That becomes the characteristics of what God is saying. In other words, if it is talking about who God was then, that's who God is now. Why? Because he never changes. Man, this will blow you away. So therefore, when you start hearing everybody, you know, talking so bad about God, and he's so terrible, and we're going to talk about some stuff he's done, but he was justified in everything he did. He's a good God. You need to get that in your brain. You need to get that right here in your heart. He's a good God. I know people who have bad things happen to them, and they get mad at God. Literally, I've heard preachers shake their fist at God and say, God, why'd you do this to me? And God's like, what are you talking about? I didn't do it. Maybe you did it. Maybe the devil did it. Yeah, maybe I allowed something to happen, but I'm still a good God. He is a good God. Is that right? Now watch this concept. Your mind changes now. Therefore, thou shalt love the Lord thy God and then keep. The word keep is what? Shamar. It means to guard. If I love God, I'm going to keep his commandments. I'm going to guard them, not just for my sake and the cover of my backside. I'm doing it because I love him. I'm in friendship with him. Listen, religion will tell you that when you sin, you're breaking God's law. You're breaking God's rules. But relationship says this, that when I sin, I'm breaking God's heart. I don't want to break his heart. I don't want to break his heart. I'll make mistakes, but I don't want to break his heart. Now see, for some folks, that's too big of a thought. Because, no, he's God. He's way up there. I mean, he's so far away. And, you know, he's this object and he doesn't have feelings. No, you got to get your thinking straight. Some people think that God isn't emotional. Absolutely, God's emotional. The Bible shows you the transparency of who he is. And he feels. The Bible says that Jesus is what? Our high priest who feels the infirmities of our flesh. And who is tempted like we all are, but did not sin. So he's not up there thinking, you can handle it, you'll be fine. No, he's like, I understand, but I made a way for you. Does that make sense? Okay, so therefore love the Lord thy God and keep his charge and his statutes and his judgments and his commandments always. Now, watch this. I want to solidify what I'm teaching you because I'm not just teaching something, again, out of Pastor Benjamin's philosophy of life and Christianity. I'm teaching you Bible here. Now, watch this. The word always, I'm going to give it to you in the Hebrew, okay? Hopefully this is the proper spelling, because the way this spelling looked was odd to me. But Y-O-W-M, which is pronounced Yome, but you can verify it on 3117. Okay? Y-O-W-M, Yome. And the reason I said there could be some variations, because sometimes different Hebrew translations have the word in a different way, but the number will be the same. So 3117, watch this. The word alway, whenever you look it up, it means to be, yes, continuously, and it means daily, but the reference for the root word is hot. Hot, like the day, like the sun. So in other words, when I am in friendship with God, in relationship with God, I will keep his commandments and I will be passionate in doing it. I'll be hot as the day is. I will be alive like the day is. In other words, my relationship is going to be in hot pursuit of God. I'm going to be in hot pursuit of him because we got a friendship going on. He's for me. He's not against me. Well, you just got everything perfect. Emoji laugh, LOF emoji. Are you kidding me? I don't have everything perfect. I don't have everything right. My wife just said, that's right, boy. You know, I'm married, man. No, I mean, life isn't, you know, that's not a Hummer out there, by the way. That's a Ford F-150, okay? It's not a Hummer. Doesn't say 2020. It says 2000. What was that, a four? You know, a three. Thanks. Well, I felt good. Yeah, it was my father-in-law's. That makes it worse. But no, you know, people get this perception when they stand up and you're in front of people. Oh, you just got it made. No, man, everybody has life and challenges. If you're living and you're breathing, you got a pulse, you got problems. Ours are just different. You know, yours is different than mine. And on it goes. Would you want to trade? No, I don't want to trade. And you shouldn't want to trade with me. Be happy with who you are. But the point is this, I'm going to be pursuing my God with hot passion. And this is what it's saying. When you pull the translation down, you pull off all the religious veneer, it is saying if you're going to be friends with God, you're going to guard this thing and you're going to be passionate about your relationship with him. Because I'm going to tell you, he's for you and not against you. And let me tell you, the way the world is today, he's all you got. I love folks, but you know what? A lot of people I can't depend on. Miss Sarah's saying, you better believe that. Right? What was the old saying I heard my mom used to always say? I don't trust them as far as I can throw them. Ain't that right? Probably said it today. You know, and that's the truth. But it doesn't mean we go around critical. It just means this. He's a friend that sticks closer than any brother. I got brothers. I love them, but they ain't like my God. They ain't like my Jesus, amen? And you got a pastor, and you know, we all got family, but there ain't nothing like him. So isn't that cool how that breaks open? Always, always be compassionate. Always be full of passion. Always pursue God in the relationship with him, no matter if you're doing good or you're doing bad. It doesn't matter. He doesn't change. All right, and so now, and know ye this day, verse 2, for I speak not with your children, which have not known, which have not seen the chastisement of the Lord your God, his greatness and his mighty hand and his stretched out arm. Now, what's he talking about? There's children in there, or there's people in this group here that had seen all the mighty things that the Lord has done, because they were 20 and younger, okay, and they were still alive. So they were 20 and younger, and they were a part. They remember this. So as you take verse 1 and you see it's a relationship thing, and you see it's about friendship, and you see God saying, be hot as the daylight, be hot as the sunlight, be passionate about me. And Moses is saying, why? Because here I'm going to show you why. I'm going to prove to you why you should be that way. And this applies for all of us right here, right now. Watch verse 3. and his miracles and his acts which he did in the midst of Egypt. How about this for you and I? For his miracles and for his acts in which he did when you and I were in trouble. For his acts, for his miracles, when you couldn't pay your light bill. When you was about to be locked up, when you was locked up, when I was this, when this happened, and a divorce, and all the garbage we could just dump right now in front of everybody. Don't forget him for his acts, for his miracles, and for everything he's done. That's why you're passionate as the sunlight and passionate as the day to be in friendship with him. Because he took care of you. Man, that's a reason to shout right there. This is why I said Sunday morning, how could you be depressed? Why would you be depressed? Why would you let the enemy run on you like that? And I'm not belittling issues of life and emotions. We all go through struggles. But we got to stop sometimes, take a break, pull over on the rest area of life and say, Lord, I remember what you did for me in Egypt. All right? And you are too good for you're too good for me not to praise you. So watch this. Unto Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and into his land. So notice that all the miracles that he did in the place of Egypt, and to the person that was troubling them, and the land. Come on, there's places you and I used to live that wasn't too friendly to us. Some addresses, some cities, some states, some neighborhoods. That land is gone. The Lord took care of you, didn't he? Verse 4, and what he did unto the army of Egypt and their horses and to their chariots, and how he made the water of the Red Sea overflow them, and they perished after you, and how the Lord hath destroyed them unto this day. So he says, guess what? Remember what I did? I destroyed them at the Red Sea. You remember you had your back to the alien armies that were coming against you? Right in front of you was an impassable, impossible Red Sea. And what did I do? He said he basically did what? He breathed out of his nostrils. He snorted. I mean, he just basically breathed and poof. Can you imagine that? That's all God had to do. He didn't have to snap his fingers. Come on, he just calls a breath to come out, and all of a sudden the Red Sea opens up. They walk upon dry ground. Charlton Heston was in the front. That wasn't him, was it? That wasn't the real Moses. Anyways, but Moses was in the front. Here comes the army. They're going to do the same. Whoosh, closes up. They're gone. Isn't that like your past? Go back to your past and remember when you had your back and the enemy was after you, and in front of you was a rock and a hard place, and you couldn't make it. There was no way you were going to get past it. Then all of a sudden, God opened it up, made a way, swallowed your enemies, and you look back and go, they're gone. They're gone. Who did that? God did that. You got to do that in your life. You got to stop, especially when you're facing another Red Sea. It's good to already know it before it happens, but you got to rehearse this and you got to remind yourself and say, God, you took care of me the last time I was in a bad spot. This is why Moses is telling him this. This is why you should be hot in your passion towards God. Watch verse 5. And what he did, unto you in the wilderness until you came into this place. What did he do? Well, he fed them. He gave them something to drink. He took care of them. He blessed them. That sounds pretty good. When you were in your wilderness, did God take care of you? Absolutely. Every single one of us, those that are watching right now, those that will be listening, we all go through a wilderness experience where we feel like we're not even saved. We feel like God is 10 billion gazillion miles away. You know, everybody's left us. We're dealing with all these things in our lives. But guess what? He never leaves you or forsakes you. You feel like he's gone, but he's not. In fact, he's closer then than he ever has been to you. And there's another teaching on isolation. I'll do it at another time. All right? Verse 6. And what he did unto Dathan and to Abiram, the son of Eliab, the son of Reuben, how the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up. See, I told you God was bad. That's where religious people, they'll remind you, you know. You ever been threatened when you're growing up, you know, your parents or whatever, about God, he's going to kill you, or lightning's going to strike you in the forehead, or whatever it is. Sometimes they take you to this particular scripture, all right? But watch this. There's a reason for this, all right? He opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their households and their tents, wow, and the substance that was in their possession in the midst of all of Israel. Now, that's pretty heavy, right? That was Numbers chapter 16. You can go back and read the story probably around verse 12 on down. Gets into the meat of it around verse 24. But what happened? Well, they were rebellious. They were causing problems within the house of God. They challenged Moses. So Moses just said, look, you know, if they're right, nothing's going to happen to them. But if I'm right, you gone. What happened? Whoop. Not only did they get swallowed up, their whole family and all their stuff. That's incredible. Okay. That right there is a good reason to have a great relationship with God. He's not necessarily going to allow that to happen, particularly today, not in such a dramatic form. I don't know. He's God. But I know this, after reading that, I will make sure everything's fine. I will make sure we got a good relationship going on. Amen? Yeah, I'm going to be a good old boy. I'm going to try my best anyhow. That's why we have grace, right? But he's reminding them, again, there's some people who saw this in the 20 when they were younger than 20 years old. And so he's bringing this out again. And this is healthy for you and I, okay? Verse 7, but your eyes have seen all the great acts of the Lord, which he did. Again, he's instilling upon and in them the fear of the Lord. What is the fear of the Lord? The fear of the Lord is reverence. The fear of the Lord is respect. When I go into his presence, I don't fear him like he's going to destroy me. I go into his presence, whether I've done something wrong or just in worship. And Lord, I worship you. I reverence you. I call you Father. I bless you, your holy name. Why? Because I honor him today. That's why you do it. Verse 8, therefore shall you keep, there's the word keep, all the commandments which I command you this day, that you may be strong and go in and possess the land whither you go to possess it. Now again, pull this apart. Verse 8, therefore you shall keep, shamar, you shall guard all the commandments which I command you this day, that you may be strong. So where does my strength come? From the Lord. But it comes from being obedient. It comes from being obedient to him. When I'm obedient to the Lord, then I become strong. I excel in strength because his favor and his goodness and his blessings are bestowed upon us. When we curse and we do wrong, we weaken ourselves. And then he says, I make you strong. Why? Why? So you can be a superhero and be a shining Christian in the room? No. So you can go in and possess the land. So you can possess the kingdom principles. So you can go in and possess the promises of God. Now, all the promises of God are yea and amen, according to the word. But the promises that he makes to all of us are diverse. The promises that he spoke to you are different than they are to me. That's personal. I don't know what your personal destiny and desires and goal in God is, but you do, and that's what you should pursue. And don't worry about everybody else. Don't worry about the person behind the pulpit. Don't worry about the person next to you. You pursue God and the promises that he's made for you. Amen? And this is a principle that we can learn from Moses telling them and rehearsing with them these truths. Okay, so be strong. Watch this, and go in and possess the land whither you go in to possess it. So no matter where I go, God gives me strength to possess it as long as I keep his commandments and I follow him and I walk in obedience. All right, verse 9. And that you may prolong your days in the land. Does any of this sound bad? I'm going to strengthen you if you obey. You're going to go in and possess the land, and you're going to live there a long time. That sounds like a pretty good win-win situation. Thanks a lot, you know. Obedience always opens the door to blessings. You might want to write that down or just put it as a mental note. Obedience always opens the doors of blessings. And listen to this, the more you obey, the bigger the door. The more you obey, the bigger the door. Absolutely. I'm not talking about cars and stuff, and it's a plethora of life. Just the fact that you're good with God and you're in a hot pursuit relationship with Him and you go to bed in peace is wonderful. Whether you have a Habitat for Humanity bed or you got a Sleep Number bed or whatever, a Serta, I don't know. It does not matter what you have around you. It's what you have in you that makes the difference. The rest will take care of itself. Okay. So he says, for the land, watch this verse. Let me continue on verse 9. And that you may prolong your days in the land which the Lord swear unto the fathers and give unto them and their seed and the land that floweth with milk and honey. Again, I get caught up in this because he's talking about generational blessings. He's going to bless you with these things. He's going to provide for you with these things. Why? Because of the obedience. For the land whither thou goest in to possess it is not as the land of Egypt, for whence you came out, where thou sowest thy seed and waterest it with thy feet as a garden of herbs. Okay, it's very interesting. I'm going to read the next verse and I'll put the two together so you can get the concept. But the land whither thou goest to possess it is a land of hills and valleys and drinketh water of the rain of heaven. So in verse 10, he said, it's not going to be the same type of land. I've been to Egypt. Egypt is a dry place. It's amazing as you drive through the desert and then you'll see little oases in certain spots where they've actually cultivated. And they have trees and it's got water and it's really incredible. And then it's desert for the furthest you can go until you get to the Nile River, and which I've been on. And it's an amazing place to go. But what he's saying here is that they would have to use man-made irrigation in Egypt. When you live in Egypt, Egypt always represents sin. Remember that. Egypt represents sin and bondage. So in your life, if you see references to Egypt in the Old Testament and New Testament, it's talking about bondage and sin. When you live in Egypt, life is harder. Life is rough. You have to irrigate yourself. You have to work harder. The drawing of the foot to bring the water to the herbs and to the seed was rough. Okay? That's representing the land of bondage. But then he says, you're going to go to a place of hills and valleys. Watch this. That drinketh the rain from heaven. This is a picture of the kingdom life and the Christian life. Notice this. He didn't say it was perfect. It had hills and it had valleys. Your life will always have ups and downs. If you're looking for the perfect life, well, you better wait till the next one. That's where everything's perfected, is in heaven. So he's showing you hills and valleys. But watch this. In those hills and valleys, you don't need self-irrigation. It's from God. He supplies. He rains down. He provides and makes a way and blesses. So Palestine is what? It's a fertile land. The promised land was a fertile land. So he said, you're not going to go to that place where you have to work as hard and use the flesh for blessings. If you obey me, I'll pour the blessings on you. Hey, hallelujah. If you just obey, I will bless you. People have the hardest time. I try to teach them, explain about giving, about tithing. They get mad about it. I said, that's fine. If you don't want to obey, don't obey. do it the hard way and be in the land of Egypt and have to use your feet, have to use your flesh to get blessed. But if you do it the right way and obey, God will cause blessings to pour down upon you and you don't have to work as hard. Can somebody say amen? That is the truth. Didn't say you're going to be filthy rich. Didn't say it. That's a misnomer. Jesus said you'll have the poor with you always. Okay? And what is rich? Tell me what rich is. Really, tell me what rich is. You can't tell me what rich is. Rich is being content. Rich is being at peace with God. Rich is having the best smile in the room. Rich is being the friendliest person you possibly can. Rich is having divine health. Rich is a lot of things. It has nothing to do with money. Because most people that I know that I've ever met that had money are miserable. And I've known millionaires. And I've been around people that have businesses. There's some good Christians, yes. But a lot of them, they're miserable. Because they made money their God. Amen. Paul said, I'd rather have a little bit and be content than to have all this stuff and be messed up with God and the world. Okay? Oh, isn't that cool, man? So he said, I'm going to take you to this place. It's going to have hills and valleys, so it's not going to be, you know, the land of perfection. But guess what? You're going to drink from heaven. In verse 12, and the land which the Lord thy God careth for. Who cares for it? God. Wouldn't you rather live in the land that God cares for? He's the caretaker. He's the overseer. He's security. He's everything. Well, that's called kingdom life. Because I'm going to tell you right now, I need God to take care of this life. I need him. I'm glad that God is my landlord. Can somebody say amen? For the eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it. So guess what? 24/7 security. We got him covering us from the beginning of the year even to the end of the year. You can't beat that, man. That's bumper-to-bumper coverage, isn't it? That's pretty good, isn't it? That's all the way around protection. That's better than Geico. That's God care right there. You're in good hands with God. I'm glad about that. Verse 13, it shall come to pass, if we shall hear or hearken. Hear and hearken means what? It means to shamar. It's the same word. Remember in the Hebrew? If we keep diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day. Here it is again. Same word. Love the Lord your God. Be in friendship with him. Have a relationship with him. Love the Lord your God and to serve him. So first was love. Verse 1, love and to what? Keep. Now I'm to love and to serve. If I'm in friendship, I'm going to keep his commandments. But guess what else I'm going to do if I'm in friendship? I'm going to serve him. No greater love has a man for his friend than he does what? Lays down his life for it. So if I'm a friend to you, I'm going to serve you. You're a friend to me, you're going to serve me. Not out of obligation, not out of paycheck, out of love, out of friendship. Doesn't this blow your mind? From all the teaching you've received over the years about God and the Old Testament and Deuteronomy. I mean, I remember that. I was afraid of God. Can I be honest with you? I was afraid of God. When I was a little boy, I used to walk home a lot. You know, when you're a turnkey child, anybody was a turnkey or whatever they call them. Yeah, we all were. We had a little key, and I had to go home and unlock the door for myself because mom had to work, single parent, divorce, blah, 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 blah. You know, I had to walk home from school, and I remember when the thunderstorms would come and the lightnings would come, I would sing to God. I'm telling you the truth. I would sing to him so he wouldn't kill me. Y'all think I'm nuts. But I would have like, go away, lightning, don't kill me, or something. I don't know. I'd sing something. I invented karaoke, by the way. No, I mean, I did. I was so fearful of God that he was going to just, you know, I wasn't even the age of accountability. 10 years old, 11, I don't know, just a young guy. But that mentality, when I read and I heard in Sunday school about God and Moses coming down and throwing down the tablets, I was like, oh, this guy up there. Can anybody be honest with me? I'm the only one that's, oh, no, somebody agrees with me. I mean, it's the truth. And I think we do a very big injustice to our young children by telling them that God's that way. And then I think we need deliverance as we get older to see how God really is. And it changed my perspective when I went into the teaching of the law first mentioned. And I began to, the Holy Spirit began to teach me and show me, he's not a bad God. He's a great God. Now I sing because I love him. I'm not worried about him squashing me. I still don't like the lightning, but you know, who does? So watch this. He says, to serve me with all of your heart and with all of your soul. So if I'm in friendship, I'm going to give him everything. What kind of friendship would it be if, you know, you had somebody halfway? We've all had halfway friends. They halfway cared. They halfway showed up. They halfway did this. You know, but we always know somebody who's passionate about us and thinks about us. So this is what God, through Moses, is trying to say. Verse 14, that I will give you the rain of your land in its due season, and the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in the corn and the wine and thine oil. In other words, you're going to have a harvest. Okay, this is a natural concept, but it's a spiritual understanding. James 5, 7, Joel chapter 2, 23, Acts chapter 3, verse 19 to 21, times of refreshing. The former and the latter rain coming down on the flood. James 5, 7, that speaks about the husband is patiently waiting for that harvest, for the rain to come in its season. What is that saying spiritually? That is saying to us today that God will put upon us not only the first and the last part of the rain, he will put it together and give us a flood. In other words, we will stay full of the nourishment of God, will be nurtured by God, will stay moist, and our life will not be brittle and dry. Somebody ought to say amen. No matter the conditions of life, I'm moist inside. There's a lot of brittle people out there. And when you're brittle inside, you become brittle outside, and people can tell. But if you are full of the joy inside and it's always raining inside, you always, you know, the blessings of the Lord, everything may be messed up out here, but out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks and you begin to praise the Lord. You ever wondered how people can go through such hard times, but yet still have a praise? It's because they're being irrigated. They're being nurtured, if you will. They're being taken care of by the Lord internally. That is the Holy Spirit. That is the joy of the Lord. Can somebody bless the Lord? Now listen, that's your promise and my promise. We just got to learn how to stir that well up inside of us. But again, this is, and then what comes out of that? The corn, the oil, the wine, the harvest. All right, verse 15, and I will send grass in the fields for the cattle that they mayest eat and be full. So he's going to take care of you all the way around. Take heed to yourselves that your heart be not deceived, and that you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. So when you get full, don't become deceived. You didn't do it. One of the riskiest things about getting blessed and going through a time of restoration is to think that you did it. Don't ever do that. God did it. He took care of you. Okay? Watch verse 17, and then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shall shut up the heaven that there be no rain, and that thy land yield not the fruits, lest you perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you. Therefore shall you lay up, everybody say lay up these words, not in your back pocket, not your family Bible that you just throw on the counter when you get home. Lay these words up. Where you put them in your heart. Lay these words up in your heart and in your soul and bind them for a sign. We talked about that, I believe, in Deuteronomy 6. The phylacteries talking about how they still do it today. And upon your hand that you may be, and they may be as frontlets between your eyes. So in other words, keep the word before you. And you shall teach them to your children, speaking them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest in the by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou goest to Walmart, and when thou goest to Starbucks, and when thou rises up. When you going to do it? All the time. Talk about the Lord. Verse 20. And thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thine house and upon thy gates. We went over this before Deuteronomy. I believe it was chapter 6 or so. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to keep this before the Lord. Keep it before our eyes. Keep it before our home. Okay? You'd be surprised how many people go to church, but they don't live Christian lives. They don't. They go to church. They have a form of godliness, but they don't do anything outside of church. They don't do anything to show forth the godliness of God. And if you walk in their house, you wouldn't be convinced that they're Christians. And verse 20, and thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thine house and upon thy gates. I read that again for a reason, because we need to have that in our hearts. We need to have our houses sealed in the blood and the word of God. That your days may be multiplied, here's the promises, and the days of your children, the land which the Lord sweareth unto your fathers, to give them as the days of heaven upon the earth. Verse 22, for if you shall diligently keep all these commandments which I command thee to do them, there is the word, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to cleave unto him, then will the Lord drive out all the nations from before you, and you shall possess greater nations and mightier than yourselves. Sound like a good plan, don't it? Verse 24. Every place whereon the soles of your feet shall tread shall be yours, and from the wilderness unto Lebanon, from the river Euphrates, even unto the uttermost sea shall be your coast be. And there shall be no man, everybody say no man, be able to stand before you. For the Lord your God shall lay the fear of you and the dread of you upon the land that you shall tread upon, as he hath said unto you. In other words, he's saying, listen, I'm going to protect you and I'm going to provide for you, but I'm also going to make my reputation of who I am known through you. How's he going to do that? He's going to do that through the trials and tribulations that you and I go through. He's going to do that through the battles that we go through. Okay? And people are going to know that he is God and he's going to make a way. Verse 26, behold, I set before you this day. Here's where we're coming to a close. So give me 5 more minutes. This is good stuff here. I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey. You might want to underline that. If you obey. Well, I don't understand why things are so bad in my life. Are you obeying? If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command thee this day, and a curse if you'll not obey the commandments of the Lord your God. How hard is this to understand? I mean, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer and not as educated as you are, but I got it. If I obey, I'm blessed. If I do bad, I get a whooping. That's what we teach our children, don't we? I didn't see nothing about time out over here, do you? Go sit in the corner. Come over here. I got a switch. But watch this. This is for a reason. He says, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other gods which you have not known. And it shall come to pass when the Lord thy God hath brought thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, that thou put the blessing upon Mount Gerizim and the curse on Ebal. Now Gerizim means to cut off. It means to cut off, but what if you really look at the translation, maybe some of your study Bibles have that, it goes deeper than that. It actually, when it says cut off, it means as a harvester, as a harvester would harvest the land. So in other words, this mountain of blessing is a mountain of harvest. Ebal, which means bare, and it means stone, it's a rough place. It also means rugged. So there were two mountains. He said, on this mountain is the blessing because it's a place of harvest. Over here, Ebal, it's a place of stone. It's rugged. There is no harvest. Ebal was always facing the sun, and it would always get battered by the sun that nothing grew. It withered. But over here, this mountain had a shade side to it that allowed for it to be fertile. Woo-wee! God said, do this. When you step over into that land, you look at that mountain over there that's fertile and say, that's the blessings, that's the kingdom life, that's my life. And I keep my eyes on that blessing if I obey. If I don't, that's what I get over there. That old rocky, stone-faced looking mountain. Well, I don't know about you. I'll take what's behind door number one. I'll take that one right there. But when you disobey, that's what you get right there. Rugged, hard, rough, hot life. Irrigation where you got to drag your foot and you got to do it the hard way. Over here, the blessings of the Lord. Didn't say it was going to be easy. Every mountain's hard to climb. Every mountain is hard to climb. And every mountain has a valley. Every region has a valley. But the blessings are on that mountain that God chose. Isn't that cool? Yeah, I'm going to follow that way. Verse 30. Are they not on the other side of Jordan? By the way where the sun goeth down, and the land of the Canaanites, which dwell in the campaign over against Gilgal, beside the plains of Moreb. Remember they had a battle. For you shall pass over Jordan to go possess the land, which the Lord your God giveth you, and you shall possess it and dwell therein. I love God's faith. You say, does God have faith? Yep. He can't give you something he don't have. But he says, you shall possess it. You shall go in. You need to get that in your vocabulary. I need to get that in my vocabulary. I shall. Why? Because God said so. Finally, verse 32, and you shall what? You shall observe to do all the statutes and judgments which I set before you this day. Hey, just obey. He'll bless you. Didn't say it was going to be easy, but he's going to bless you. He's going to take care of you. And if you'll notice in some of those last couple of verses that I read, especially where the Lord is talking about all the things that happened, he basically repeated himself and he said, which I did. What does that tell you? That tells you this, that God is the one, the initiator in this relationship, in this friendship. And if we do our part, he's going to do his part. And he guarantees it. That's his promises. His words and his promises are yea and amen. Father God, thank you for this opportunity to teach tonight. I pray that it would just encourage our hearts and lift us up and strengthen us and let us know, Father, you're for us and not against us. We're going to choose your mountain. We're going to choose the mountain of the Lord. We're going to choose the promises where it's fertile, where the rain comes down from heaven as a flood, as a early and latter rain. Father, thank you for that. Help us to walk in that truth. Water your people tonight in this congregation, those that are watching right now. Bless each and every person that is attached to this ministry. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.